did play just a little bit too much.
Oh, Judas Priest!
You won't hear us playing Judas Priest, but you will be hearing an entertaining sports show with myself, Frank, and David the Man of God Harris on WSUT's After Further Review, airing Saturdays 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and throughout the week with our replay 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. on Toledo's only alternative and your on-campus radio station, 88.3 WXUT.
Oh, Judas
Priest! After Further Review, as this is one of Frank's favorite songs.
Do not listen to him. He is selling you snake oil.
We don't sell snake oil, but we provide an entertaining and thought-provoking sports show on 88.3 WXUT, Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and sometimes we provide a life lesson. Ain't that right, Frank?
Life lesson my ass.
Don't be a hater. And tune in to AFR Saturday mornings 11 to 1 on WXUT. Hola. Further Review. I'm Derek Lawson here with Frank Vashner. Frank, don't say anything just yet, okay? We gotta figure some stuff out, but we got Brian Bucky here on the phone lines. Is Brian, what's up, man? We haven't talked to you in about 3 weeks or so, man.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So, Brian, what's been going on, man? We had a little bit of technical difficulties.
Not much, just, finishing off basketball season here, doing a little spring practice, and that's about it right now, really.
And Frank, now you can say something. Frank, as we got Frank Vashner here, as we're actually live in the studio, and can you turn that pod that down just a little bit so we don't, no, the other one, no, right there, see? You guys get, well, hopefully we get the new studio, we'll be pretty good here. So Brian, since you haven't been here in 3 weeks, we got a buttload stuff to cover. First off, we haven't talked to you since the MAC championship. A lot has gone on. The Rockets played a great game. Unfortunately, they ended up a little bit short. But the biggest picture was that basically they didn't have Trayshon Fletcher.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he got injured in the semi against Eastern Michigan. Wasn't able to play in the finals. They played really well without him, I thought. But that Buffalo game especially, they really could have used them just for some more offensive firepower to kind of match up with Buffalo's really balanced and talented offense. But, you know, Toledo was kind of right there in that game anyways, even without Trayshon.
Yeah, that is very true. But then Buffalo goes in there and gets actually a tournament win. How does that how much help the Mac look good?
I think it definitely helped. I mean, Buffalo was kind of the marquee team all year in the conference, really. They played a really good non-conference schedule and put some good teams really close. And then, like you said, in the tournament, you know, they kind of actually blew out Arizona. So that probably does nothing but help the Mac's reputation a little bit. They went on to play Kentucky, play them close for a little bit before Kentucky kind of pulled away. So it was a good showing for the Mac, and it, you know, kind of proves that there's good basketball being played in the conference. Unfortunately for Toledo, that didn't result in, you know, an NFC berth or anything like that. So that was a little disappointing, but I think Buffalo represented the conference well in the postseason.
Now, were you a lot of fans were disappointed that when the Rockets didn't get the NIT bid, that they at least would try to go for a CIT or the CBI? People are kind of, so to speak, torn on this. I know usually the feeling with the CBI and the CIT is more for younger teams. Like last season, the Rockets were with the CIT and they went against George Washington. They got a first round exit. But some people say that, you know, the team like that last season, it was a young team. They wanted them to get some postseason experience and it helps them going forward. This team here, though, a little bit older team, a little bit more expectation, so to speak. But what did the Rockets really expect to be in the NIT this year?
I think they they expected him. They felt like they, I don't know if they expected him necessarily. They felt like they should have been, and they felt like they were deserving. I mean, you know, second, they're really the second best team all year in the MAC, you know, behind Buffalo, and played really well in the tournament. You know, obviously losing Trayshawn hurt, but they felt like they were worthy of that postseason nod. And I think once they didn't make the NIT, I think even before they made the NIT, I think they made the decision they weren't going to play CBI or CID, just because, like you said, they have a really big junior class, and you know, juniors and sophomores who have experience. And I think the money drain that those tournament causes may have been a little too much tonight. They wanted, and they kind of felt like it wouldn't be as beneficial as it would maybe to the team with a bunch of younger players, like you mentioned. So it was a little disappointing that their season came to an end like that, but it was a really good season nonetheless.
I got to ask you this, though. Does it still, or I know when I was the sports director here, it was if you won the regular season title, but didn't win the conference tournament, you pretty much had an automatic bid to the NIT. Is that still true?
Yeah, it actually is automatic. So if you do win your conference and lose in the conference tournament, you do get a bid. So that eliminates some of the bids for, you know, teams like Toledo for sure. You know, a team, I think, like, I know Vermont had a pretty good team, but they fell in their conference tournament, I think, to UMBC.
Mm-hmm.
So they got an automatic bid to the NIT. And there are a few other cases, even in smaller conferences like that, where the team won the regular season title and lost in the conference tournament.
But then again, though, if the Rockets, cause, I mean, let's face it, for a while there, the Rockets looked like they were going to either, they were going to pretty much tie or possibly take the lead for the MAC. And I think, and people say this all the time, that the regular season doesn't count, but I really think those two losses to losing twice to Eastern Michigan and losing twice to Ball State kind of hurt their chances. What if they would have tied with Buffalo? Do you think they would have got the nod to get in the NIT?
Yeah, I think they might have if they had caught Buffalo and tied them. Just because, I mean, just because the body of work, I mean, yeah, like you said, it hurt, you know, losing those two to Eastern and two to Ball State, and they kind of didn't have a good record against, you know, the winning teams in the MAC. They had five losses, and I think all five were, you know, the Buffalo, Eastern, and Ball State, you know, three of the better teams in the conference. So I don't think that, I think that kind of hurt him a little bit, but yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think it's guaranteed they would have been in the NIT, but they would have a lot better chance if they had, you know, caught Buffalo and tied for the regular season title.
Now, looking forward, they do lose Trayshawn, which was unfortunate. I like to be a Rockets homer, but at the same time, I do think even if they did have Trayshawn Fletcher, that Buffalo team was just destined to do some great stuff. And
yeah,
I thought that the Rockets played very well without him. They came up with a great strategy, and hats off to them. But some people were thinking that, well, if we had Trayshawn, we could have had it in the bag. To be honest with you, I think if we did have Trayshawn, I mean, there's no guarantees. I mean, especially when you're playing at the Q, there's some guys that do well in the regular season, then they get to the Q and they struggle. I mean, you know, that's just how it happens. But I really think with just the guard play of Buffalo, and they just had too many weapons, I really think that it probably would have either been the same score, or maybe Buffalo would have beaten by like five.
Yeah, Buffalo is just a talented team top to bottom, really. I mean, their guard play was unbelievable for them most of the year. Wes Clark in the tournament kind of took it to another level, especially against Toledo, when you saw what he did in the NCAA tournament. So,
yeah.
I mean, that mentioned guys like Massenburg and, you know, Devontae Jordan and Jeremy Harris on the wing. Those guys, that was just a really good team.
Nick Perkins. Yeah, you know, even though Massenburg didn't really have too many points against them, then again, though, he's a key cog for that team. The men, like I said, their season was over once the MAC tournament was over. Another year to add to the suffering of not getting to the big dance. But then we switch on over to the women. Some people thought possibly that their season would have been over when they lost to Kent State in the first round here in the MAC tournament. But they got an extra game against Wright State. They played in the WNIT. Unfortunately, they would lose to Michigan State at the Breslin Center. What was your thoughts on their season this year? People had high expectations. They won the MAC championship. This is what the crazy world of basketball is that you expect to have a team back from a championship team, and, well, it just didn't go right. so to speak. Yeah. He ended up 18-15 overall, 8-10 in the conference. It just was an up and down season, kind of frustrating.
Yeah, it was a really up and down season. There's no real, you know, consistency from, you know, game to game, really, in the next season especially. Again, they challenged themselves in the non-conference, played a pretty good non-conference schedule. And the math is tough this year. I mean, you saw what, you know, Buffalo and Central Michigan were able to do in the NCAA tournament, winning two games.
They're in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, in the Sweet 16. I don't know if they played yesterday, if they played today, but they're both.
They play today.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, you see what those are the two dominant teams in the MAC, and then the list goes on in the MAC with, you know, Ball State is really good. And I know Coach Culliff kind of called the MAC West, like the gauntlet. That was her, like, kind of nickname for the MAC West and just how tough it was. So, it was disappointing, though, just because they had that success in the tournament last year. I mean, they went in as a sixth seed last season and made a really good run in the MAC tournament. And I think the thing that was most exciting to the fans was that they had pretty much everyone back in that team, minus Janice Moncana. So there are high expectations, and I don't think Toledo really met them this year. I think they were kind of lucky to get into the WNIT, and it was nice to get a win over Wright State. And, unfortunately for them, they fell a little bit short, you know, at Michigan State to end the season.
Would you describe the season? I hate to say it, but was it like this? I mean,
it was a little bit.
You know, I don't want to, you know, I love Coach Culliff, and, you know, that she does a fantastic job, but I mean, it was basically everyone thought we're going to get back to the tournament, at least get back to Cleveland, compete for maybe a back-to-back, get another NCAA bid, and it just didn't pan out. What happened? I mean, it the wheels just fell off. I mean, it didn't look like the same. I mean, the same players were out there. Kayla McIntyre did really well. Olivia Cunningham, I think, didn't really kind of went down. And then toward the end of the season, she started putting in the younger players.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Olivia Cunningham probably played, I believe, in the first round of the WNIT. Not sure how much she played against Michigan State. I wasn't at that game, but yeah, she played. Kyle played, you know, Tatiana Davis for some big minutes against Wright State. She played pretty well, so that was kind of a look to the future there. But yeah, Cunningham kind of struggled all season long for whatever reason. She was so good in that MAC championship game in the MAC run last year. It was a little surprising that she didn't kind of build on that this year. And overall, the team just really struggled on offense at times, just shooting the ball. Rondo Harriet was really good from three-point range for most of the year, but other than that, it was kind of ugly from shooting threes. If, you know, teams kind of left Mariela Santucci open for threes, and she just really struggled to knock them down at a lot of times last year, or this year. And, yeah, it was just kind of disappointing. I feel like their defense was pretty much there all year, that they played with good defensive intensity. They really struggled to score at times.
Yeah, actually, Olivia Cunningham did not play against Michigan State, so she got a DNP CD, did not play coach's decision. Now, that's not on the official scores tape thing, but that's we know it was what happens when you don't play a DNP CD, which kind of stinks. But now, what do you think is going to happen coming back? Now, they did have a loss. They lost Coach Vicky Hall. She went over to Indiana State. I actually congratulated her. I sent her a text message because she's been wanting to be a head coach for a long time now. And she was the associate head coach, I believe, for about 5 seasons, assistants for one. So overall, 6 seasons she was here, University of Toledo. Her resume is just, you know, big because she was great as a professional player. I think she was a high school All-American, went over to Texas. The list goes on for her. So now she's over at Indiana State. Did you talk to Coach Culliff? And, you know, how is she on the road, or is she on the phone trying to find another assistant to replace Coach Hall?
I haven't had a chance to talk to Coach Culliff since then, but, yeah, they'll be on the lookout for a new assistant. Vicky Hall is great, like you said. I think she has 6 years kind of beside Culliff. And she did a really good job with kind of specifically with the international recruiting, bringing in some of those players. Just she has kind of some international ties with, you know, playing overseas in her career. She was a really good player, one of the best players ever in the state of Indiana, I believe. I think she's happy to go to Indiana State, and I think she'll do a really good job.
Yeah, nah, I wish her the best. Now, with basketball being over, the men's season's over, the women's season's over, guess what? We start to look into spring practice. And right now they've got a quarterback battle. Tell us a little bit about that with the two quarterbacks. They're good friends off the field, but they got some large shoes to fill with Logan Woodside being gone.
Yeah, absolutely. It's probably going to be between, you know, Mitch Guadagni, a junior. He's from Hudson High School. He's, you know, I've heard a lot of good things about him kind of coming up, and this kind of may be his time. He's a junior. He's been around the program for a while now. He's like with Michael Julian. He kind of backed up, you know, Logan Woodside last year, and he, you know, is definitely a talented player, but he'll have to earn the job in fall camp. Eli Peters is another guy that they're pretty high on. He's from Florida, and he'll be in the mix all spring, and I'll kind of, you know, evaluate from there. And then Coach, you know, Cannell said those highly thought of freshmen will, you know, get on campus this summer, and they might, you know, force themselves into the mix as well. But right now it's looking like it's between Guadagni and Peters.
How's the team actually looking in spring practice? I mean, I understand it's just spring practice.
Yeah. I mean, we're not really allowed to watch the practices, so it's hard to get a sense of that, really. But when you just look at the roster and kind of analyze the team, you know, they're young at some positions, but on offense especially, they bring back so many skilled players. It's kind of crazy, really, with, you know, especially with Cody Thompson coming back, and he's kind of being eased into things in the spring, and they don't really want to rush him coming back from his broken leg from last year. But with guys like, you know, Deontay Johnson, John Vade Johnson, you know, the slot guys, McKinley Lewis and Desmond Phillips, and they just have, you know, a really, really deep receiving core. The running backs are really good with Shaquille Seymour, who kind of broke out last season behind Swanson. They still have Art Tompkins. They have Navon McCrimmon. And Nicholas Sims was really good last year in practice during his redshirt season. So the quarterbacks, well, whoever wins the job will have a lot of playmakers to work with. The defense will have to fill some holes, you know, with Marquise Moore and Ola Danny gone from the defensive line. You know, Juwan Woodley's not there at the linebacker spot, Trayvon Mathis at cornerback. So there's some shoes to fill, but there's a lot of depth and a lot of young guys who are looking to kind of make their mark on defense.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Now, talk about I believe you did an article, Gilliam and Rose, or Rosie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's Rossi, maybe. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how to say it. Yeah. Yeah, so Jordan Fisher's this spring is playing linebacker, kind of making the switch. He played a little bit of linebacker in high school, and I'm kind of looking at him, giving him a look in the spring to switch over to that position. And by all accounts, he's looked really good so far. So that kind of opens up things for, you know, Reggie Gilliam was a junior. He's a really good special teams player. He blocked two punts last year, lined up in the backfield a lot, even scored a rushing touchdown. So he's one of the guys in the mix. And Drew Rossi really came on at the end of last season. I think Robbie Disher, the tight ends coach, said they're kind of on track to redshirt him after about four games, and he kind of, you know, forced his way into the lineup, and by the end of the season, he was getting a bunch of snaps at the tight end position. So he's a promising young player, and he'll get on the field probably, even if Gilliam, you know, earns kind of a starting role. So it'll be interesting to watch kind of how the tight ends are involved in this offense. They have a lot of responsibilities, you know, blocking, lining up in different spots and all that. So we have two good options, even with Fisher moving over to linebacker.
Also, you did another good article on running back coach Kerry Dixon II. Or basically junior. I don't know. I mean, he could be a junior. He's been down in Florida, you know, Florida International, Florida Atlantic. I mean, he's been to the directional schools, the regular Florida. What brings him all the way up here to snowy Toledo? I know to get a job, but how's this transition going?
It's going pretty well for him, I think. I think he kind of probably recognizes, you know, the talent they have at running backs, and it's been a good spot for assistants. I think he mentioned he coached with a few guys on staff with offensive coordinator Brian Wright when he was at Florida Atlantic, and I think safety coach Ross Watson was another name he mentioned that he coached with at Florida Atlantic. So I think he was kind of familiar with the Toledo program. He followed a little bit, just kind of catching up on how those guys were doing. So when a spot opened up, I think he probably kind of wanted to jump on it and kind of, you know, join the mix here at Toledo. So it is a transition just because he only got here like a few weeks ago, and then he has to go into spring practices already. But, you know, the coaches and the players seem to like him so far, and I think he's doing a pretty good job, you know, to start out.
And then just tell us the three things to watch for in spring practice leading up to the spring game.
Three things to watch. Yeah, I mean, the quarterback situation would have to be number one, just because it's so important with this team, with everything they bring back on offense, to have someone who can kind of be a leader and get the ball to the playmakers, get Toledo in the right sets and everything like that. So that's probably the number one thing. Seeing how Cody Thompson kind of responds to his injury would be another big thing. Just because they want him to be ready for the start of the season, obviously. So he's a guy who always wants to be out there, so they got to play safe a little bit, maybe slow him down a little bit at times this spring. And then I'd just say the young players on defense and how they kind of emerge would be maybe one other thing. And, just how they fill in for those graduating, you know, seniors that I kind of mentioned before. So, those are kind of three things to watch for right there.
And then they also had the pro day. How did that go? Obviously, Adonye and Woodside were the main attractions. How do they look? And then there were some other players out there, right?
Yeah, there were. Woodside looked good. He didn't really do anything. He just threw. He didn't run in the 40 or do any of the vertical broad jump, all that stuff. But
did you know he got a shout-out on the Colin Cowherd show?
He wasn't Will Blackman or
Yes, Blackman that used to play with the New York Giants. I don't know who he's with the New York Giants. Well, he was with the New York Giants. He was also with the Packers and said, watch out.
Blackman? Will Blackman?
Yeah.
Will Blackman.
He said, look out for a guy named Logan Woodside. I mean, put it out there. And Colin Cowherd obviously had never heard of Logan Woodside and had to go look him up. He said, oh, he's from Toledo. But yeah, that's pretty cool that this guy has looking highly of him. Remember, this guy, you know, played with quarterbacks Eli Manning and Aaron Rodgers, so he got the shout out.
I think he even compared him to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yes, he did. He compared him to Jimmy G. Now that's some high expectations. I don't know if it's going to move him up the needle on the draft board, because everybody was all over Sam Darnold at his pro day. I don't think they weren't getting that NFL Network coverage over at the UT pro day like Sam Darnold was getting in the pouring rain. But keep going on. Woodside looked pretty decent. Who else was out there? I know you were saying Terry Swanson.
Elijah and Thompson and Brant Weiss were out there. Trying to think who else.
Trayvon Mathis, Jawan Woodley, and Daryl Richards.
Yeah. That was it. I didn't really see how they all did. I know Swanson looked pretty good. He's added a bunch of muscle kind of to his frame. He looks he's in really good shape.
Wait a minute. You said he added muscle. He was already kind of big already.
Yeah. He really looks strong. I mean, he's put on even more weight to his frame. He's looking pretty ripped. So. Yeah, you're looking good. So,
he said he looked pretty, I guess, you know, during the season he looked kind of doughy. But, you know, now at the pro combine, he's looking a little ripped. But people thought he was going to do really well, too. Could you say that Terry Swanson, his senior season was like this?
I don't know. I think he had a pretty good pretty good senior year. Maybe didn't live up quite to expectations, but I wouldn't say it was a flop. He had won the league in rushers in the MAC, I believe. So, yeah, so we're interested to see. I don't know if he'll be able to catch on with the team.
Kareem Hunt there watching?
He was, yeah.
Okay. He so he was giving them the little like, look at me, because he did get NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year, didn't he?
Yeah, AP Offensive Rookie, yeah, rookie
so
of the Year.
He was out there, you know, like, hey, you could be like me one day.
Giving a little support, yeah. Support to his boys, Harry.
Yep. I mean, they were part of the, what was it, the, not the Batman Project, the Justice League. The Justice League they were. But that was pretty good. Now, did you talk to any scouts? Did they give you a feel of, okay, we like this guy, or this person might have a chance to get drafted, or maybe this guy might want to go the free agent route?
I didn't really get a chance to talk to any of the scouts there. I did see some of their comments just on Toledo in general, and they all kind of said it's a place they like to go and kind of catch up on these prospects just because how successful they've been in the recent past with, you know, sending guys to the pros, and they really get their players, you know, ready for the challenges of the NFL and do a good job with that. So that was kind of interesting to see. Didn't get any of their thoughts on Woodside or Adani specifically. I think Adani lowered his 40 time a little bit. Hard to say because they don't really keep official times, but I think he was in like probably the high 4.7 range I think at the combine, he was in like 4.8 something. So I think he improved a little bit. He only ran once. He tweaked his hamstring a little bit. So he didn't get another chance to run the 40. But I think he's done pretty well for himself. And Woodside looked pretty impressive throwing the ball in front of all the scouts.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. What you got coming up, Brian? I know you did some high school basketball. Where'd you go to do some high school basketball?
I did the regional final between Archbold and Columbus Afrocentric.
Where they ended up hitting, Columbus Afrocentric ended up hitting a buzzer beater.
Yeah, it was a great game. I mean, both those teams are really good. Archbold is really impressive. I didn't have a chance to see them during the regular season, but, you know, they're a really good team, and it was kind of disappointing they lost at the buzzer, like you said, but, yeah, that was a great game.
Frank, what did you got? Did you see Archbold?
I didn't. I know that there was one team in my area that did get to the state Final Four. That was Monroe St. Mary's Catholic Central.
They lost yesterday.
They lost on Thursday to Maple City Glen Lake by 6. So, tough way for the season end, but I want to give a congratulations to head coach Randy Windham and the guys. Successful year, getting to the Final Four. And the first time they won, they actually had won a regional in an even-numbered year because they had been doing it in the odd-numbered years, but never the even-numbered years.
Wow, look at this. Frank with the glove hijack. We're talking about OSHA basketball, and you come in with the Misha. But, no, you know, they did do really well.
Yeah, I thought
St. Mary Central Catholic, is that close to us? I mean,
it's in Monroe, Michigan.
Okay, that is close. I saw 13 News in there, but, you know, you had to bring in interviewed
Coach Windham.
Mm-hmm. He even gave us the little nugget of knowledge that they hadn't won in an even year. You know, only in the odds. Nice hijack, though, Frank. You know, we were talking about them Archbold boys, and you came in with the St. Mary Central Catholic. Swooped in.
Oh, they're the Falcons.
Okay, right there. They swooped in with the Falcon punch. What do you got coming up, Brian?
Not a whole lot, really. I'm working on some spring football stuff. I'll have that, and then going to be doing a feature coming up on there's a player for Toledo women's tennis team, Toledo Rodriguez, who has
one arm.
Was born with one arm, and she's kind of playing really well for him. So I went out to practice, talked to her, and all that story coming up on her. So she's a pretty interesting story, and so I'll have that coming up.
I got to ask you. This time of year, though, once basketball's done, spring football's done, then it gets to the slow period. But how does the baseball team look? I mean, you might get out there. I mean, I know a few years I was doing baseball with the sports director. You didn't really make much of an appearance. But then again, though, they didn't really have much to write about. But, you know, will they keep you busy this year? At least will you put the pen to pad on them?
I think I will a little bit. I don't know how much, you know, game coverage I'll do. Hopefully get out there and do some features on them, kind of on the softball team, some of the other spring sports, once things kind of slow down a little bit. Like you said, after spring football, it gets pretty slow, so there's some opportunities to do some stuff like that. So
right. Instead of covering UT Quidditch, you can cover you can probably cover some baseball or softball, looking at another 20 to 25 win season. They're even saying, I saw it on one of the local networks here, that they're looking at 30 wins and maybe a run in the MAC tournament.
Okay. Yeah, they had a good year last year. I think they had a good year last year,
but weren't able to qualify for the MAC tournament, I believe. That was one of the things that did happen. So they're trying to, you know, get the whole kit and caboodle here. And the baseball team, they just keep plugging away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Brian, thanks for calling in, man. As always, always giving us the good stuff here on 88.3 WGT's After Further Review.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem, Brian. That was Brian Bucky from the Toledo Blade calling in as he gave us some of that UT knowledge.
Yeah, always good stuff from Brian.
All right, coming up next, what are we going to get into, Frank? I'm trying to think. Is it the tournament? What time is your buddy calling? And I forgot.
He told me that he was unable to, so...
Oh, he's unable to.
Yeah, he apparently had stuff to do, and I tried to talk to Coach Bull and see if he could, but he's busy with his kids, so hopefully we can get the Facebook Live up and running.
Oh, that's what they're waiting for, huh? They're getting anxious so they can talk that trash from the glove, right?
Yeah, but... I mean, when we do tournament talk, I did get some thoughts from Danny about tonight's Michigan-Florida State game.
Oh, that's right. Somebody thinks that it's in the bag, huh?
We'll find out. And plus...
Be careful when you think it's in the bag. I'll tell you a little story, I think, because it's something that hurt us, thinking it was in the bag.
And also, I will share somebody who had to eat some crow after last night.
Eat some crow. Was it stir-fry crow?
We'll say that it was, deep-fried.
Okay. Well, we'll have that and more here on 88.3 WGT's After Further Review. We also got David the Man God Harris, who's going to be calling in, talking a little bit about the NFC moves of the NFL offseason. And we talk about the 20 most dominant athletes. He had a list up from ESPN the magazine, but he has the question marks with them. But one thing we want to ask you, is NASCAR a sport? Are they athletes?
I'll give my take on that too.
Somebody might be eating some more crow though.
Oh boy.
We got it cooking and sizzling here on 88.3 WGT's After Further Review. Make sure you check us out every Saturday morning, 11 to 1, right after one of the best shows here, Theme Park 9/11 with Tim and Vicky. And then you can also listen to us, if you missed the show, on our podcast. Frank, have you been getting people? You've been getting traffic over at the Podcast Central?
Yeah.
Let me see what we got here.
I've been meaning to go back and listen.
We got one play in the last 24 hours, Frank. 9 in the last 7 days. I mean, we were cooking a couple weeks ago, and now we got 1-9. We even got Mousetrap is following us. I don't know who that is, though.
I had been kind of busy, so I got to go back. I wanted to go back and listen to my one power play where I did my hot seat index.
Oh, so it's you that's been boasting the numbers, huh? It's been...
Well, sometimes I have to go back and, heck, if people ask me questions for thoughts on stuff, I was like, let me go back and something I said on here. And...
Well, tell them to go to the podcast and get your thoughts. You don't have to go back and do the review. Tell them to go get it and then ask you questions from your power play. Make sense?
Yeah, I've been doing that too.
What about your buddy Taylor Phillips with the Michigan Sports Truth, is it called?
Yeah.
He gets a little heated when he listens to some of our podcasts. I've read the comments.
Yeah, I know. I've only been on for like when we've had to do stuff in the afternoon because he's having to do with some pretty late night stuff, but our schedules haven't always lined up. So
yeah. Does he be eating crow too?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay, so we got to go to the corner store and pick up some crow meat because somebody's eating crow. But we got an action-packed show for you guys here on 88.3 WHT. Like I said before, make sure you hit us up on SoundCloud. It's WHT's After Further Review. And on iTunes, just After Further Review. When we return, we're going to have the Facebook Live up and running. And we'll be talking a little bit of a tournament talk. I think David the Man of Gajuhood.
Yeah, see, yeah. I'll tell you what he said when we.
Oh, is he calling in or is he going to do the old text thing?
He's going to call in.
Okay, because we can't do text stuff. We can't be reading text and stuff. And it's just not good. Okay, so we'll do that and more here on 88.3 WXUT's After Further Review. We'll be back after this.